Hello and welcome to our program. Today we continue in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, a declaration of war. Stay tuned. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, the Lord said to the devil, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was a personal declaration of war from the Lord to the devil. We're going to look at it in a minute, but first listen to this message and song, The Bible Stands.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands over hills, may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.
Again, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, we have a declaration of war from the Lord to the devil. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, her seed is referring to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We'll talk more about that in the days to come. It is important to understand that at this point, Satan set out to do everything he could to keep Christ from going to Calvary. I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said, the dirty old devil put Jesus on the cross. No, he didn't. He did everything in his power to keep him from going to the cross. The devil didn't put him on the cross. I did. He died there for my sin. He died there for your sin. You put Jesus on the cross. Satan didn't do that. What Satan wanted to do is keep him from going to Calvary once this declaration of war was given here in Genesis chapter 3. And verse number 15, we'll see Satan did everything in his power to stop him from going to the cross. Now, in Genesis 1, verse number 1 and verse number 2, the argument has gone on for a long time as whether or not there was a gap between Genesis 1 and Genesis number 2. Let me say again, what the devil really likes to do is to get people arguing about that. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Now, we're going to look at the timeline of Satan from the beginning so we can follow it through and see how he is trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross, and why is he doing that in the first place. We read back in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12, concerning the devil. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." In Ezekiel 28 and verse number 14 concerning the devil, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." Now, that word covereth has been translated defense in Nahum 2 and verse number 5. And God said, "I have set thee so." And so he was homeland security for the Lord here. He was the anointed cherub that was in charge of defense. It says in verse number 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." So here in Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 16, we have a description of Satan before he fell. He was called Lucifer. He is called the anointed cherub that covereth. And again, the word covereth means he was in charge of defense. Now, he said in verse 15, he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. However, back in 13, verse number 13 in Ezekiel 28 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now, that's very important. Now, once again, if you are going to get all upset because someone believes or doesn't believe in the gap theory, you have a pride problem, all right? Let's get that straight right from the beginning here. It says that he was in the garden of God. That's what it says. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, we have another description of Satan and his attempt to overthrow God. It says here in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." Now, first of all, we see here that Satan has fallen. He's rebelled against God. And what did he do? He said, "I will ascend into heaven." Now, ascend, that means go up. I mean, we don't have to be too smart to figure that out. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Now, he's got a throne. He said, "I don't like my throne here. I'm going to put my throne above the stars." Now, if he's going to go above the stars, he must have been below the stars. Well, somebody says that refers to angels. Well, let's read on. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And then Satan said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, if he's going to ascend, go up above the heights of the clouds, it stands to reason he was below the clouds. Well, it says in verse number 2, "And the earth was without form and void." I'm reading Genesis 1 and 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And so those who hold the position that there was a gap between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2, where the earth was or became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, where they read here that Satan was cast off of this world, the world was then became without form and void. Now, God, after that, restored this ruined earth and gave Adam the dominion that Lucifer once had. And at that point, Adam became the target of Satan's attack, and Satan succeeded with this attack. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And we know that Adam and Eve both sinned as a result of that. Genesis 3:24, "God said, he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Well, we have this declaration of war, and so we read in that declaration of war back there in Genesis 3:15, which was spoken to Satan by the Lord. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman. The head of the serpent would be crushed, and a complete victory would be found by the seed of the woman, would follow the fact that he went to Calvary. Satan now learns how he's going to be defeated. The seed of the woman, of course, is Christ himself. The phrase, the seed of the woman, indicated the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and so Satan set out to destroy the royal line through which Christ would come. And so his first attempt was to have Cain murder Abel. We read in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Then in 1 John 3:12 we read of Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. He was inspired of the devil to do that. Well, God gives Eve another child by the name of Seth, and through Seth the Messiah would come. So Cain was banished to the land of Nod, and Satan's attempt to stop God's plan had failed because now Seth was on the scene. We read in Genesis 4, verse number 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Well, the next thing we see that Satan does is the corruption of the entire world. We read the sons of God, chapter 6 and verse 2 of Genesis, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, once again, there's two positions concerning that, and people fight about what position they're going to take. Let me remind you, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. If we're going to get all contentious about this, it's not that it has anything to do with this issue. It has to do with our sick pride. We don't need to get proud about the fact that somebody has a position that is different than yours or doesn't have the same one. There's two positions. One is the sons of God married the daughters of men. One is that their fallen angels intermarried and corrupted the people of the world. The other one is that marriage of believers and unbelievers, and that corrupted the world. You can take whichever position you want. I know mine. I'm not going to go into it at this point. In any event, we see here that through this situation, the sons of God married the daughters of men, and the world became corrupted as a result of it. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 12, we read, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Well, the devil's getting pretty successful here. He can stop this royal line through which Jesus would come. But Noah, we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, and it gives the generations of Noah in this portion of Scripture. It says here in verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he did, except for 8 people, Noah and his family, and the royal line through which Jesus would come has been preserved once again. The next attack we see of Satan is found in Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 4, where they were building the Tower of Babel, and the Bible says in verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And we have a corruption through a religious, political, one-world system. We have a confusion of languages as a result of that. God came down and stopped them from doing what they were doing, and we have all these different languages as a result of that. So they weren't able to continue with that. Well, we read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1 that God chose Abraham, and it says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and get this, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And again in Galatians 3, verse number 16, we read, now to Abraham and his seed, were the promises made, and Christ would come through that royal line. Well, Abraham's family then becomes the one that is under attack all through the scriptures. We'll name a few. Esau attempted to kill Jacob, and the entire nation later was under bondage in Egypt. In Exodus 1:22, the Bible says, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, every daughter ye shall save alive. If you killed all the sons, you're going to stop the royal line through whom Jesus would come. We have the story of Moses, and God used Moses, and they were spared. Later you have the story of Haman, and Haman, it says in Esther 3:6, sought to destroy all the Jews throughout the kingdom, and we see that God used Esther to solve that problem. And then there was the story of Athaliah. We read in 2 Chronicles 22:10, Athaliah arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. She was going to kill them all. However, there was a woman that the Lord had here named Jehoshabeth in 2 Chronicles 22. You can read it through 11-12 in that chapter. She took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and she hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land, but he was spared. And we read in 2 Chronicles 24:1, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. It was down to one person here, but the devil could not destroy the royal line through whom Jesus would come. Well, we move into the New Testament, and we see Mary, the mother of Jesus. We read in Luke chapter 21, verse 26 and 27, and in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Well, she was about to have a child, and we read that Caesar Augustus passed a decree that everyone had to be taxed in their own city. This meant a 100-mile trip to Bethlehem when she was great with child, and they didn't have a new Honda van to ride in. It was a rough trip. All along the way, it was filled with robbers and murderers. And even then, when they get into town, the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. Let me read it. Luke 2:7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room in the inn? No, it doesn't say that. It says there was no room for them in the inn. I think if the worst living prostitute in the world had shown up at the door of the inn, they'd have found a spot for her somewhere. But there's no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. No room for Jesus. No room for much today in the lives of people either. Well, then we have the story of Herod. Herod in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 16, it says he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so another attempt here by the devil using Herod to destroy Christ. But we read that there was the flight into Egypt after giving birth to Christ, and again, this in itself would be an attempt to kill the Son of God before he could go to the cross. Well, we have the temptation of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. You can read it there. And all the devil's trying to do here is get Jesus to bypass Calvary so you couldn't get saved. Then they sought to kill him. I'm going to give you a few verses. Matthew 21:38, come let us kill him. Mark 12:7, come let us kill him. Matthew 26:4, and they consulted that they might take Jesus and kill him. In Luke 4:29, he rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill, whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Luke 22:2, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him. John chapter 5 verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. In John 7:1, the Jews sought to kill him. In John 7:25, is this not he whom they seek to kill? In John 8:37, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you, John 8:40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. Over and over again, we find that they tried to murder Jesus Christ before he could get to the cross. Well, even when he was standing before Pilate, it says in Luke 23 and verse 7, as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. Now, if Herod had put him to death, he wouldn't have been crucified, and that's what the devil was trying to stop. You can kill him if you want to, just don't crucify him, because that's the way the scripture said eternal life would be possible for you and I. Well, in Luke 23:11, we read, "And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate." Well, we see here finally the conflict of the ages. Christ went to the cross. Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And the Bible says when Jesus said it, "It is finished." What he's talking about here was the conflict of the ages. It is finished. The Bible says he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. He didn't shy away from it. We read the devil did everything in his power to keep Christ from going to Calvary. Well, we read in the last chapter here, Revelation 20 and verse 10, at the end of the story, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever."
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly